Well, good morning. You guys go ahead and stand. We are starting off with a song called Do It Again. And first, welcome here. If you're joining us live, welcome here. I have a lot of faith stirred in me and stirring in me this morning. The song we're about to Do It Again, I was thinking about my grandmother. And you probably knew her as Big Mama. We called her grandmother. I called her Big Mama. And she always had her faith stirred. Always had her faith stirred. And I thought, what was that thing that made her always had her faith stirred? She, you know, Paul says in Scripture to keep the fire in your heart alive. Keep it ignited. And don't let it go out. And she consistently stirred in her what God had done in her life. That he had never failed her. He wasn't going to fail her. It didn't matter, you know, what was in her bank account. What the circumstances looked like. What reports she heard. She consistently stirred. He's been faithful in this. He's going to be faithful in this other thing. And so whatever that thing is for you this morning, that you need to reignite this fire, to reignite this stirring of faith that what he's done, he has not failed you yet. He will not fail you today. And that his promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. Say, great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. He is faithful. So stir that this morning. Stir that faith that his promise is yea, it is amen, and that every word he has spoken over you, over this house, over your life, over your children's lives, over your friends' lives, that he watches over every promise so that he can perform it and let it come to be. And then when we doubt, we get to stir that up again and to stir it up again. And we remember, you're here, you've made it today, right? You're here today, right? You're here today, and it's a good day. So let's stir our faith this morning and let's worship him.
Jesus, you're still enough. still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness.
The king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. Sing it out loud. You are good. Oh, you
Faith stirred. I want you to believe and know that He is for you. He is for you. And if He is for you, nothing is against you. Nothing. Not a report from a doctor, not a number in a bank account, not a conflict in a relationship. When He is for you, that is all you need for you. And He is constantly working everything for your good. Stir it this morning. Let your faith be stirred in a God who loves you, who wants good for you. This house is a house that is built to proclaim His goodness. If you come here to get a message that's going to send you to hell or make you feel bad about yourself, you're coming into the wrong building. You can say all day, why do you just, all you're going to do is talk about God's love for you? That's all you're going to do? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. It's not watered down. You can't water down. People who say you're watering down the love of God, stop it. You can't water down love. It's the richest thing in the world. It's the greatest force in the world. When Jesus saying, you hang everything on this. Hang everything on this. You come into this building, you're going to hear a message of truth that is of goodness and a God who chases after you, seeking to accomplish everything He has ever promised you and set out to do. That is who we are. That is what we're called to do. And to take it out beyond this and to proclaim that God loves you so much. He loves you. He is for you. I'm excited to be in this house this morning to stir the gifts, to fan the flame.
a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are. So know how He loves us, how He loves us.
Passionate, and those songs are passionate songs. They are filled with passion. I don't know whether you know this or not, but everything in life that you're going to get is going to be built based upon how passionate you are about it. And Dusty started it off talking about rekindling our faith, rekindling our passion for things. And I'll share some stories with you about that. But let's pray first. Father, thank you for every single day that you give us, and you give it, Lord, for a reason. And Lord, I just ask today that you open our hearts, open my heart. I pray that I'll share this, Lord, with passion and power and purpose, and that we'll leave here with more passion and more purpose and more power in our life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You know, two things I hate about summer. That's a good way to start off passionate, isn't it? Two things I hate about summer: the heat, especially the heat we've had, and people being scattered all over the place. My family has been scattered all over the place this summer. I've been everywhere. Been Hong Kong, been Anna's up in the mountains for 2 weeks, and I was in Florida at a funeral yesterday, and everybody just scattered everywhere, and I just miss my family. And that's a good thing. And summertime, I see everybody scattered. I miss my family. Don't you miss your family? You miss what they give to you more than you know they give. I believe strongly in osmosis. I believe just being around somebody, you get something. I believe you pick up good stuff just by being around people. Our theme for this year has been love. And that's a great theme, isn't it? Isn't that a great theme, just love? We've had themes over the last many, many, many years. We had Kainos, which is time of renewing. We had the table. We've talked about different things. And this year we decided, you know, we're just going to talk about love. And so we've been on a series the last several weeks, and I've been on a sabbatical. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I really enjoyed it. I may go on some more. But I took about 4 Sundays off, and aren't you grateful we got people can come up here and share with you just wonderful things? Aren't you glad of that? You know, you can clap. They don't really feel good with that. Come on. Just make them feel good. Talking about kingdom principles, and I just back up a minute. Commandments keep you from suffering bad consequences. How many know if you break a commandment, nothing good's going to come out of it? Principles, though, don't bring bad consequences. Principles bring everything good into your life. If you do this, then this comes to you. If you do this, then this comes to you. Principles are proactive, and principles are full of life. Say, full of life. You know, the Bible's more about principles than commandments. I don't know if you know that or not. The book of Proverbs is a book about principles. And really, a lot of times when people read the book of Proverbs, they want to classify this as sin, this is sin, this is sin. No, this is foolish, and this is wise. There are foolish things and there are wise things. And that's what Proverbs is all about. It's just some wise things and some foolish things. How many has ever made a wise decision? How many know that a wise decision is a whole lot better than a foolish decision? How many has ever made a foolish decision that you thought was a wise decision and ended up a foolish decision and it didn't bring much good to you, did it? But that's what this is all about, is learning some good stuff, getting some wise principles in us that we can live by. And my most enlightening experience in my journey of faith was when I went from a destructive eschatology to a constructive eschatology. Eschatology, by the way, is just a theological word for the study of end times. Let me give you just a little good little principle about end times. There are none. There's no end. Nothing's going to end. How many know life is not going to end? We have eternal, everlasting life. And so the fact of the matter is, there's no such thing as the end of all things, but there is such a thing as the restoration of all things. Okie dokie. No such thing as the end of all things. But there's a something about the restoration of all things that the Bible talks about all through it. Aren't you glad for restoration? And that God's going to restore, say restore, renew, and replenish the earth. There are three beautiful, wonderful words. I will restore you, I'll renew you, and I'll replenish you. And each one of those words have a specific meaning to it that applies a principle to this life that is so, so good. When Jesus began his ministry, he began it by saying things like, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are you even when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." And that word blessed means divine favor, health and prosperity, happiness, a good journey for those who will regard his principles. You see, those were not commandments, Jesus was saying. They were principles. He was saying, if you hunger and thirst, and it's good, how many know it's good to be hungry? Yes. It's good to be hungry. It's not, if you're not hungry, you're probably sick, right? How many's going to get lunch when you leave here shortly? How many's already thought about what you're going to get? How many's already anticipating something that's going to be tasty? Why? Because you hunger for it. But if you were sick right now, if you're nauseated right now, you would not be thinking about eating, would you? Why? Because you're not well. Because you're not well. Jesus wants us. God wants us. Holy Spirit wants us well. And so I want to talk about this word restore for a moment. It's my life. It's everything to me. It's the core of what I believe in. It's the core of everything I teach. It's the core of this church that we believe in restoration. And let me tell you why I believe in it, because this is what it means. Bringing back, restore to an unimpaired and improved condition. An unimpaired and improved position. Aren't you glad God's in the ministry of restoration to make things not just get it back to where it was, but to improve where it was? You know, if you ever had your marriage restored, then you got to realize that you can't just restore it back to what it was, because what it was didn't work. Got to be restored to something that's better than it was. Aren't you glad that principle, the best is yet to come, is in it is in every single thing there is in life. The best is yet to come. I want to show you some things that's in the natural that's been restored. I asked some people to do this for me. Keith Wesley restored this tractor. I want you to see this tractor. This is what it looked like. Now, I don't want to have a whole picture of it, but the whole tractor looked like that. Whole tractor. Now, he restored it in how many? 4 years, Keith? 4 years of restoration, that looks like this. Pretty big difference, isn't it? I would say that's improved greatly as to what it is now. Now, go back to where it was. If that was my tractor, that's what it would look like still today. Because I am not passionate about that tractor. Matter of fact, I don't know what I've done with that tractor. Yeah, next picture of the tractor, but it wouldn't look like that. 4 years, tearing down every single bolt, screw, nut, and restoring that. Look how beautiful it is now. Why? Let me tell you, he was passionate about it. I remember the first time I went over to, he actually built a shed, not a shed, it's a little more than a shed, it's a nice little barn to build this, restore this. And I remember going over there, and I remember seeing it, and parts laying everywhere, and Keith telling me about this and that and another, and I was like, yeah, okay. I didn't stand a word he was saying about what he was going to do, but you know what? The end product is something else. And then a few years ago, went to with Brian Miller to get a motorcycle that he wanted to restore. And this is what the motorcycle looked like when we went to pick it up. Now, that does not give it justice. That kind of looks like it's that this thing was horrible. And I'll never forget, I had a motorcycle trailer then. I went out over to this neighborhood, and we pulled it up on it. And I looked at that thing like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I don't know if I said that to you, Brian, but inside I was going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, and he had to pay for it. They didn't even, I would think, you know, my first thought was, I guess they're going to give this to him. No, he had to pay. How much you pay for it, Brian? $400. Had you? Oh, man, I thought that is the stupidest thing. Why would you do that? But he was passionate about something. This is what it looks like now. Wasn't that something? I couldn't believe it went from that, what it was, to this. If it was mine, it'd still look like that. Because I ain't passionate about that. But look at it now. You can take anything. If we can take things and restore like that, what can God do? If we can do that, what can God do? If we can do this to natural material things, what can God do to natural people? What can God do to us? There's a Chevelle, Mike Willis. He's not here, but he has a 1960. I think a 7 Chevelle 396. I don't have a picture prior to it, but it didn't look like this when he restored it. But that's what it looks like now. Looks brand new. Let me tell you something. It's better than it was when it was brand new. It's improved. It's unimpaired. It's so much better. But you got to be passionate. I was told so many people years ago thought that I had a photographic memory, and kind of got out. Buren has a photographic memory. God, I wish I did have a photographic memory. I'd have been A-plus student if I had a photographic memory. I could have just looked at something, and bam, it came to me. But I was passionate about the Word, and I didn't get the memorization of Scriptures from a photographic memory. I got it by staying. Not that these people aren't passionate about God, too. Understand what my passion is was the Word of God. And because it was my passion, then I could pull on it and it would pull on me. Let me tell you something else about restoration. This is how God works on restoration. That tractor, that motorcycle, and that car did not do one single thing to be restored. Somebody with compassion and passion put their hands on it and started restoring it back. Restoration is not man working up to God. It's God working down to man. That's what restoration is. God coming down. Aren't you glad God came down? Jesus came down. One of my favorite scriptures, Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance, but God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah, for he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It doesn't get any clearer than that. A time of restoration of all things. And you know what happened to me when I went from a destructive theology to a constructive theology? My passion and compassion just skyrocketed for the world. It skyrocketed for people. It skyrocketed for the planet. It skyrocketed for everything I could see because I was passionate about it. Jet's been after me to go play golf. He wants to play. And he got passionate because his brother played with Spider-Man in Hong Kong. We may tell you that story later on, but John Henry got to play two rounds of golf with the new Spider-Man. So Spider-Man is Jet's idol. I was sitting watching Godzilla with him in the theater, just he and I there, and Spider-Man came on to advertise the new movie, and Jet said, that's my favorite actor. So when he finds out John Henry plays with Spider-Man, he wants to play golf. And I was so, it helped me to get back passionate about golf a little bit. So I'm a decent golfer, and I'm not a great golfer because I ain't passionate about it. I enjoy it, but I don't have that passion for it. And when we pulled up at a golf course Friday morning, and I had to play quick because I was going to Florida Friday afternoon for a funeral yesterday, and we pulled up on a golf course, and there was a tournament going on, and I said, we couldn't play there. So Jet was looking out the window, and he says, Gaga, look at all that land. Look at, oh, that's so pretty. And we're coming out of the driveway, and he says, Gaga, are we not going to play? I said, yeah, buddy, we're going to another golf course. And so we're all the way there. He would not shut up. You would thought he is Tiger Woods. He's already got the Tiger Woods thing down. He still does this. He's got it down. And we pull up. We get out. He said, Bubba, aren't you excited? Aren't you excited? And I got ahead this little set of clubs. Well, you know, we brought the cart down. We put our clubs on the back. And I set his in the cart. And no. He reaches out, pulls that out, goes around, sets on the back of that cart, straps his clubs in like he's been doing it for 50 years. And you go, boy. He was passionate. The whole round, he was passionate about it. I let him hit off a tee box. Then I take his ball to my ball, which is about 2 yards further than his ball. No, I'm just kidding. And then he would hit from there. And then after that, I said, go get your ball and put it on the green. And then you can putt it out. And so we did that the whole round. I got the one hole, and he was lollygagging around, and we didn't let him putt. And so when we walking off the green, he's standing up on the green just like this with his putter in his hand. He said, hey, I hadn't putted. We said, well, Jet, you just messing around. Come on down. Y'all, you cheaters. Cheat. I said, do what you want to do. Put the ball. Just come on and get in the car. But he stirred something in me about passion. We need to get passionate again. How many know you need to get passionate about God? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Whew. I don't know if I've ever really, really tapped into that. What does that mean? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love God? It's pretty strong, isn't it? In Jeremiah chapter 8, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah said, the harvest is finished, the summer is gone, the people cry, yet we are not saved. I hurt with the hurt of my people. I mourn and am overcome with grief. Is there no medicine in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? But then he said this, chapter 9. If only my head were a pool of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I'd weep day and night for all my people who have been slaughtered. Oh, that I could go away and forget my people and live in a traveler's shack in the desert, for they're all adulterers, a pack of treacherous lies. Now, what you got to get is this, is what he's saying here. He is filled with so much compassion for the people that the only way that he could, he wished that he could just cry in rivers for his people, but he's so compassionate about it. He said, I know this is going to be really difficult. I just wish I could go live in a shack in the desert somewhere and get away from it. And that's exactly what a lot of people do when it comes to restoration. They want to go to a desert somewhere and get into a shack because that's so much easier to do than to get your hands dirty and get soiled on, because restoration is not an easy thing. Restoration is not something you just speak and say and da-da-da and hope everything's well. Restoration is getting in there and getting dirty with them. It's getting down there where they are and lifting them up and picking them up and saying, I'm here with you. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up until you get back fully where you need to be. And not just where you need to be, but where you're going to be better than you've ever been before. That's what restoration's about. Not putting our head in the sand and forgetting about it, turning the other way. That's easy. This church has given. Now listen, I wish I knew how much. Those of you who've been here for a long time, you know this is true. We have given thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to restore ministers across this nation. Thousands upon thousands of dollars. Why? Because we didn't set them down and say, sit here till you get restored. We set them down and gave them money every week so they could live off of and minister to them until they got back to the place where they could be. It's part of denomination. If you had a moral failure, you were sat down for 2 years. You weren't given anything. You just got to sit for 2 years. Well, most of them went and got a job. They had to have provision. And a lot of them never went back into the ministry. I know a man right now, one of the greatest men of God I ever knew, had the church in Griffin, only knew about restoration, had only restored this man. No telling where it would be today. But they wouldn't do it. One of the reasons why is, how does it make us look? How does it make us look? Makes you look like God, what it makes you look like. Makes you look like Jesus, what it makes you look like. Makes you look like you really care. That's what it looks like. Because that's what God needs, is that kind of heartfelt. Not only did we give thousands upon thousands of dollars to restore men, we spent thousands and thousands of dollars to equip people to be able to restore people. That's our heart. That's God's heart. It was said about the church years ago, the only army that shoots is wounded. Only army that shoots is wounded. Oh, you're no good anymore. Just go ahead and get this over with. If we could get that mental image, that's what happens. It's happened over and over and over again in the kingdom of God. We've shot our wounded simply because they failed. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again. If we had people like Keith and Brian, who would see people that way and be willing to get their hands dirty, be willing to think about it, be willing to do whatever they had to do. I talked to someone just the other week in our congregation. I said, you know, I know it's happened. It's not there yet, and I know you're still believing, you're still believing. Let me tell you what, God never gives up. And I've seen people who tried and tried and tried and couldn't make it, but one day it clicked. One day somebody didn't give up, and they got restored. Because somebody didn't give up. Aren't you glad God don't give up? Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad? I believe in restoration. I believe in it with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it ain't easy. It is not easy. It's difficult. It's hard. But let me tell you something. It's worth it. How many of you know that practicing's not easy? Not easy. But isn't it worth it? Ask a professional golfer. Was it worth all those hitting thousands of balls every week? Was it worth it? I just won $1 million in a golf tournament. I think it was worth it. Nothing you're going to get is not going to come with some passion. I got to be passionate about it. And God's in this ministry. He said, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not, yeah, you made your bed, sleep in it. No. His rod and his staff comforts me. The rod was for the wolves, the staff was for the sheep. He didn't give me a rod to beat you over the head with. He gave me a rod to beat the wolves away, false prophets away that would come and try to wreck your life. That's what the rod's for, not for the sheep. Anyway, you've heard that before. So what is the restoration about? Me? Others? That's what it's about. One thing's missing today. Can I teach for a minute? One thing's really missing today in the move of restoration, and anytime we're going to restore, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't restore without the power of the Holy Spirit. The word's great. Repentance is great. But the power of the Holy Spirit's what's got to come in that person's life and bring them up. Ezekiel saw a vision of a valley of dry bones. And God said, prophesy of those bones. He began to prophesy of those bones. Bone became the bone. Sinew came up. Muscle came up. Skin came up. But there was no life in it. And he said, speak to the four winds and let them breathe upon this. And they became a mighty army because the power of the Spirit rose them up. You know, I hadn't talked this in a long time, but in Psalm 150, you know, it talks about praise. I mean, you know, praise him with the timbrel, praise him with the harp. Then he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, that is not natural breath. That Hebrew word is the word God's breath. Let everything that God has breathed upon, let everybody who has had the breath of God to breathe into them, let them praise the Lord because you've had God's breath blown into you. He says, I'm going to take you Abram and make you Abraham. He breathed into him. He became the father of many nations. I'm going to take you Sarah and make you Sarah. It's the breath of God being breathed into her to become the mother of many nations. It's the breath of God that we need in our life every day. Now that I get, and let me say this before I go any further. You and I stay in a process of something being restored, renewed, or replenished in our life. There's always something in me that needs restoration. Always. How many know that preachers need restoration? Preachers need renewal. How many know that? Know that pastors aren't perfect. I know you know that. Don't shout it out. How many know that? Pastors aren't perfect. We need the same thing that you need. We need the same food you need. We need the same power you need. The same spirit you need. But everything you need, we need too. You get discouraged, we do too. You get upset, we do too. You get angry, we do too. You get mad, we do too. You get upset, we do too. You get crazy, we do too. You get disappointed, we do too. And you just need restoration. We need it all the time. That's why I took some time off. Now, I hadn't failed. I wasn't in a moral crisis. I hadn't shot anybody, drank any blood, committed adultery, fornication, none of that stuff. Just needed some time just for me and God. Just think about some stuff like that. Let him just replenish, renew me. Hallelujah. Y'all are saying, well, thank God. We knew you needed it. Renew. What's it take to renew? Change your mind. change your mind. You got to change your mind about that. Got to be renewed. You got to have that happen every single day of your life. Renewal, when you see the word new in the Bible, it's not new in respect of time. That's the word neos. It means it never has been before. But the word new in the Bible, create new heavens and a new earth, is the word kainos, which is renewed. And I want to read a passage of scripture for you. It's always been one of my favorite. It's in Isaiah chapter 65. And I want you to look at that screen, and I want you to eat this up. Look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad. Rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. I'll rejoice over Jerusalem. I'll delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard and heard no more. No longer will babies die when only a few days old. Wow. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. This is Bible. This is Isaiah prophesying about a future that a person 100 years old would not even be considered old. Wow. The curse will die that young. In those days, people will live in the houses they built and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. My people will live as long as trees. My chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. They will not work in vain, and their children will not be doomed to misfortune. For they are people blessed by the Lord, and their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers, and the wolf and the lamb will feed together. Wow. That's not talking about, he's talking about something that is on this planet. People are still dying, but they're not dying young. They're not dying at the age that you would. A man 100 years old will be considered young. Kind of how we think, isn't it? You know, you can say, I'm getting old. It's how you say it. It's what you believe, what you say. You know, I catch myself all the time. You're getting old. Well, guess what I'm going to do if I keep saying that? We'll get old. Age has nothing to do with old. Old has to do with how you think and how you feel. So, change how you think, change how you feel. The lion will eat hay like a cow. Snakes will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed in my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. How many would love to see that day? How many know people are living longer today than they've ever lived before? Way longer today. We've come a long, long way. Restoration takes work. Renewal takes how you think, what your perspective is. That's all it takes. It's changing your mind. Why do you do it? And that takes perseverance, by the way. The last thing is replenish. Replenish means to fill with inspiration and power, become full and complete and made whole. The purpose of restoration and the purpose of renewal is to do what God said to Adam and Eve to do in the beginning. Created them in God's likeness and God's image and said, take dominion over everything and replenish the earth. Fill the earth with good things. I want the band to be coming. And as they're coming, I want to give you a principle, a statement to change the question that you ask. Because I've been in the ministry about 45 years now, and I've heard this question asked me hundreds of times. I've heard this question in counseling sessions. I've heard it in funeral homes. I've heard it in the foyer. I've heard it in counseling. I've heard it hundreds, probably thousands of times. And here's the question. You ready? And you've heard it too. What am I here for? How many has ever heard that question? How many has ever asked the question? What am I here for? Can I tweak that question and tell you you've been asking the wrong question? It sounds good. Sounds good. I mean, to me, that sounds... Ask this question. Who am I here for? And then you will know what you're here for. Because your purpose has become God's purpose. And when God's purpose becomes your purpose, then you know who you're here for. And who you're here for? You're here for your family. You're here for your children. You're here for your grandchildren. You're here for your brothers and sisters. You're here for everybody else that you have influence on in this world. That's why you're here. To make an impact on their life. To change them. Restore them. Help renew them. Help replenish into them. That's what, who? You're here for him. And that's what you're here for. And we're here to restore, renew, and replenish. And when we forget that, when we forget that, and you got to know something. Can I just make a statement to kind of not capsule all of this, but maybe to, for all of this to happen, you got to know there's a higher power in life than you. If you're in Judaism, there's a higher power. If you're in Islam, there's a higher power. In whatever religion in the world, they believe there's a higher power. You're in Alcoholic Anonymous, they believe you, but tap into a higher power. And Buren Goss believes you've got to have a higher power in your life than you to do what you need to do in this world. And then I heard a man say not too long ago, the reason that David was the king, the greatest king that Israel ever had, the reason he was, he never confused his kingship with the king. He never got confused what he was doing and who he was. And we can never get confused on what this thing's all about. And it's his kingdom. And you know why? All that we talked about this morning will happen. You know why? Because the compassionate passion of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 9 will see through it and see to it. He's passionate about it. Let's stand. He's passionate about it. You know, I know we're going to sing that other song now, and that's great. But when you were singing the third song, it's really his compassion for us. I don't want you to sing it. I want you to sing it. Do it again. Okay? Don't want you to get confused. Alright. I want you to sing, do it again. Then will come, we'll see the offering and all. But that song talks about how much he loves us. Do you know he's jealous over us with a godly jealousy? God is jealous over you. And James said that his spirit is so jealous over you, he envies it. It turns into envy over you. He loves you so much. He's jealous over you. He's jealous over his pride. There's a good jealousy. If you don't love somebody, you ask me, are you jealous over Barbara? You better believe it. You better believe it. But leave her alone. Hit you in the head with a club. People get killed over that kind of stuff. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to kill nobody about it. I might. Jealousy. We need to be jealous for what we have in God. A good jealousy. We need to embrace it with every fiber of our being. We need to rekindle that passion. Rekindle that passion. Rekindle that passion for it. And let what looks like rubbish, no good, turn into something so beautiful. So beautiful. Believe me, he can do it again.
walking around these walls. I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. The night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your faithfulness.
receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, I want to remind you of a couple things. Yeah, you can be seated for just a second because I got a couple of announcements to get you. But in your bulletin was a lot of important information. One of the most important things in there is the connection card. We want you filling that out each and every week, sharing your prayer requests and praise reports with us on the back of that. It's also where you sign up. We have fall connections that are starting in August. The first Wednesday in August, we'll have first Wednesdays, but it's also the kickoff for our fall connections. There's two different book studies that will be going on. If you have not read Irresistible, Pastor wants every person in the church to go through that book study at some point in time. So it will be offered again at a later point, but it is that important of what God has done for us, what Christ did for us on the cross. Goliath Must Fall, another great book by Louis Gigolot, and Lynn Langston will be leading us through a group through that, and then Jennifer and I will be doing parenting principles starting in August. So Wednesday nights, August and September. So you got something to do on Wednesday evenings. I know you were looking for something to do. It's a good time, though. It's a way that we can share, we can do life with one another, sharing biblical principles, sharing godly things with one another. But your connection card is the way that you sign up for that. Everybody say next Sunday. Oh, I didn't hear you say next Sunday. You don't want to miss. Pastor Dwayne Swilly will be with us, and he will be sharing with us, and just a tremendous time. He is now, I think last time he was going to be moving to Atlanta, last time he was here, he's now in Atlanta, and has a tremendous, powerful word, prophetic word that he brings, and he's one of the ministers that Pastor was talking about that we sowed into many, many years ago. And the work that God is continuing to do in his life is evident and seen. So, did our ushers come already? I guess they did. Wonderful. Amen. Well, everybody stand. The ladies have started a project today. They have a green egg in the foyer that they are raffling tickets for. It's a little bit different. Don't go up there expecting to give your $5 bill and grab a ticket. They are only selling 125 tickets total. Makes the odds pretty good, doesn't it? Changes things. They are $20 a ticket. So if you're interested in being a part of that, I guess you can do that. I may win it, but you can still put your $20 in. My ticket's going to get drawn out. Just teasing. Father, Lord, we thank you that we get to come to your house. Lord, we receive, Father, Lord, word, spirit. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we get to give our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Bless those, Father, Lord, to the furtherment of your kingdom. I pray, Father, Lord, for and thankful and grateful for every person, Father, Lord, that is ministering to our children right now. Bless them in a powerful way. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day.